It's so great to be able to be back again and to see people's faces and just to be able to fellowship together. Actually, at the first service, everybody still had their mask on and couldn't even see. And of course, I had my mask on and could hardly breathe. And I passed out several times on stage. Sorry you missed it. No, I'm kidding. I didn't pass out. But it's great that we can be together again, kind of following up with an Old Testament festival, which is the Feast of Pentecost. And that's what I want to talk about today, the Feast of Pentecost, because that's a time when the Israelites would be able to get together. There was three times a year that they would make what's called a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So from all over the world, the known world, people would travel to Jerusalem to worship, sometimes to bring offerings. So the first one of the year was the Passover. And then that was about 7 weeks ago. If you're following, you'll kind of figure out how it all works. 7 weeks ago. And then actually this weekend is the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Well, what is Pentecost? What does that mean? What do they do? What is Pentecost all about? Well, we're probably familiar with Passover. It's really the same weekend that we celebrate Easter. But we know that Jesus was crucified and rose again on the Passover weekend. And so that's what Passover is. They remember their exit out of Egypt. God's power, God's glory working in a very mighty way. And it was demonstrated. And what that gave the people was their freedom from being slaves. Certainly the freedom from death. You remember, even they were killing the babies. Freedom to go and to worship God. Several times Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let the people go so they can worship Jehovah. So they had their freedom. But what is this thing about later on they would have Pentecost? So there's a couple of words that come up. Pentecost we're familiar with is the feast mentioned in the New Testament. Pentecost is the Greek name, and that just means 50, but the other names, we've got a slide for that that's going to show us what the names are. One is called the Feast of Weeks, so that's the one that's quite often mentioned, at least in the English Bible, to let us know what this feast was. The Feast of Weeks then has to do with 7 weeks from the day of Passover, then they're going to celebrate Pentecost. And then in the Greek, it's Shavuot. And so what that is, just the Hebrew word that the Jews would use for this time, and Shavuot means weeks, or week, maybe week. But so for them, they count off 7 weeks, which is actually 49 days, Pentecost 50 days, so it depends how you number your days. And we know that the Jewish people number their days a little differently from sundown to sunrise. You know, so there's just a little bit of a variance there. But, you know, I was kind of thinking, what a great time to talk about this idea of Pentecost, because today's Pentecost. But Pentecost is when the Jewish people got together to worship God. They would assemble to remember all that God had done. They'd come with their thanksgiving gifts. They'd come with a part of their harvest that they would give back to God. And it would be a time of joy and celebration, because they had to remember, and hopefully they did remember on a regular basis. It's kind of like us as Christians. You got to make the connection. You know, for them, they're living in what's called the Promised Land. That land did not belong to them. That was God's land. And God had made a way for them to come and to live on His land. And so when they were following God and they were serving God and loving God and worshiping God, God blessed the land. So they had lots of rain. They had a full harvest. They had many animals. They even had lots of children. Now, when they were not faithful to God, a lot of that disappeared. A lot of the blessing, a lot of the favor of God, they did not receive. So on Pentecost, they would remember how much God had blessed them. They've got the land. They've had a harvest. And now they're going to bring it as a remembrance to say, This is God's. It's all God's. It's just a gift from God. And we are just stewards of the land, of the harvest, of everything we have. And so that's what the Pentecost was. Just a day of celebration and to remember God. So there's a couple of verses that we do want to look at. So the first one's going to come up on the slide. And it has to do with a little bit of the history from Numbers chapter 28. And so these are just snapshots. There's a larger context here. If you wanted to get some more information, you could look at these scriptures in totality. But that says, on the day of first fruits, when you present the Lord an offering of new grain, the festival of weeks. So that's what we're talking about, this Pentecost and or the Shavuot. Festival of Weeks. Hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. So it's just saying there's going to be a time where they are going to give back to God, remember God, thank God, praise God. And so that's what this this celebration was all about. So hopefully we can be thinking the same kind of celebration we have. Because it's actually not been 7 weeks. Well, it has been 7 weeks since Easter or Passover. It's been 11 weeks since we've been together. Right? So that sounds like a long time, and it seems like a long time, but 11 weeks, we've not been here. Well, actually, I have, but you didn't come. No, I'm just kidding. You know, so I did the lessons from here that we put on YouTube, but we've not been together. So now we're together. So I'm thinking, time of celebration, a time of rejoicing, a time of thanking God for what He has done, you know, how He has blessed us. And even through this time we've had, and even the last 11 weeks, yeah, we've had some trials and we've had some losses and we've had some difficulties and we've had some challenges and we've had some changes that we've had to make to life. And some of those are temporary changes and for some people they're permanent changes. But we still can come here as God's people, right, to celebrate what God has done and how He has been with us. So this has got to do with this celebration. In Exodus chapter 34, in verse 22, it says this, "Celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the festival of the ingathering at the turn of the year." And so again, it's talking about what they are to do. This is what's called the end of the wheat harvest. And then next would be the barley harvest. So again, if you were living in Palestine, I'm not sure if it's still like that today, but, the wheat is pretty well done by now. And then the new crops are going to start coming out, which is barley, but they're coming with their wheat harvest to give to the Lord. And it's the first fruits. It's the very best. They're not giving their second best. They're giving everything to God. If you're familiar, it's kind of a side note, I guess, but on the day of the Passover, they're also supposed to bring a gift offering, which is a little different than this. Here's the picture. This is after you have brought in all your harvest. You know how much you have. So to come up with a percentage, 10%, if that's what you're going to give, you can just count it out and say, well, we'll weigh it or we'll measure how big the harvest is and then we'll 10%. But at the Passover, it's at the very beginning of the harvest. In other words, the fruit is just coming out. The wheat is just becoming mature. You have no idea how much wheat you have. How are you going to give a gift to God when you don't know how much you're going to have? I mean, what if the season dries up a little bit? You don't have rain. You have some dry. What if you have some of those nasty pests that come out and start eating? What if you had a fire in your fields? What if someone came and took from your field? You don't even know what you have. So what are you going to bring to God? Well, maybe the big challenge would be is, I'm going to bring to God in faith what I'm believing He is going to do in the future. Right? So it's a faith offering. In other words, if you only brought a little bit, God may look and say, oh, you only brought a little bit? I guess you're only expecting a little bit. Maybe I'll only give you a little bit. But if you in faith come with a lot, God may think, wow, you really trust me. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do and bless you because you've been faithful. You brought a lot. I'll give you a lot this year in your harvest. But at this point, they are bringing from all that they have received, all that they can measure, all that they can count. So they're bringing this to God, again, out of rejoicing and saying, thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for the land. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 9, there it talks about this idea of doing it with joy, right? It's not, you know, in the New Testament we talk about, you know, it's not under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver, a joyful giver, somebody who's willing to give and to rejoice, I have the opportunity to give. There says count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain, the standing grain. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a free will offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. And then this is the last part to emphasize. And rejoice when you come with these gifts, when you come to celebrate, when you come to worship. It's this idea, then rejoice. You can rejoice in this before the Lord your God. And so again, it's not something we feel like we're compelled to do. It's not something, oh, I don't want to give, or boy, you know, I don't know what the bills are like. Like, this is not like the government instating a tax and say, does anybody here really enjoy paying taxes? Now you may say, I've not even had to pay yet. You know, they extended it. Woohoo, you know. Maybe some people are looking for like an eternal extension. You know, I don't, you know, if I never pay taxes, that would be good. But I mean, most people don't like paying tax. I mean, we know it's necessary, but this is not a tax, right? God is saying it's a free will offering. It's not something you should do, you know, with sadness or regret or even with anger. This is something we do with joy. So when we come together to worship God, we should do this every week. When we come to worship, we just come to say, thank you, God. I want to worship you because you've been so good, because you've blessed me. And yes, even if we're going through a hard time, God, I still trust in you. I'm still looking forward to the future. I still know you're going to be with you. God, I know you've not given up on me, and I'm not giving up on you. This is kind of what worship is. This is why we come together, to honor and worship God. Now, with the Jewish people, I'm not exactly sure what they did in the very early days, but I know in the last while, the Jewish people, when they celebrate Pentecost, do it for two reasons. One is to remember the blessings of God. But the second thing that they do during this time is to remember relationship. They remember a relationship. You see, you remember when they left Egypt. So they were living in Egypt under slavery and under killing, under abuse, under being controlled by somebody else. What did they want? They wanted freedom. So God set them free. Moses came, the deliverer, the plagues in Egypt. Then they were free. So they left Egypt at the Passover. Now they're free. Free to do what? What are we going to do with freedom? Where do we go from here? And if we're free and we're all on our own, we are people, we have no military experience. We've been, you know, making bricks. We have no military weapons. We can't fight. So we're just going to be thrown out in the world. And boy, I hope that we can make it. Because we've been used to somebody else protecting us and taking care of us and feeding us. Free to do what? Some people say, I don't want that kind of freedom. Sometimes I'd rather know what's coming next. In other words, I can learn how to deal with my pain as opposed to being free, just wondering what's going to happen. Well, it was about 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after they left Egypt. What happened? They came to the foot of the mountain and God gave them the law. So that we would say this sounds like it's a Pentecost. It's the 50 days later. God gave them the law. But what does the law do for them? What do they think of when they think of law? They don't think of rules and regulations. They think of relationship. At the law, God made a covenant with Moses and the people. You're going to be my people. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to be the one, you know, we talk about the good shepherd. We talked about that during Bible classes. I'm going to be there for you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be your God. We're going to be in relationship. It's kind of like they left Egypt and God brought them out. And in just a few weeks, he said, I'm going to marry you. We're going to be one in family. And that's what at least the Orthodox Jews today still celebrate, this promise that God made to them, that they are going to be taken care of by Jehovah because he made that promise. So that's kind of where we get to Acts chapter 2, right? Because what is that? That's the day of Pentecost. So follow the story. Old Testament Pentecost, Old Testament Passover. Just talked about that. New Testament Passover, that's when Jesus died. He died the day before the Passover, when everyone was offering up their sacrificial lambs. That's the day Jesus died as the sacrificial lamb. That's the day that Jesus died so that we could be what? Set free. We're free from our sin. We're free from the penalty. We are redeemed by God. I mean, we were in this condition of sin and death and pain and suffering. We couldn't get out of that ourselves. God freed us. Just like the Jews had to sacrifice a lamb, put the blood around the doors, Jesus died so that we could be free. That's Passover. Now what we read in Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost. It's the 7 weeks later. Pentecost. You remember Jesus told the apostles, go to Jerusalem and wait there for power from on high. They waited and waited. They didn't know what they were waiting for. He didn't say wait till Pentecost. They were just waiting. But in Acts chapter 2, that's when Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, is. And what's the day of Pentecost? Well, it's a time of rejoicing and bringing gifts to God, but it's also the day of covenant. It's the day of relationship. It's the day of something new. And so when Peter got up to preach and say, Jesus is the Messiah, but there's something brand new happening. And during that time, it was the Holy Spirit that came down upon them, and they were able to speak in languages and to explain what the gospel is. And what they were able to do in Acts chapter 2, which is the first time in the history of the world that God said, here's how you have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and you enter into the new kingdom, the church. This was God's plan from the beginning. All these things happening in the Old Testament, Paul calls them, they're like a shadow of better things to come. They're just kind of in black and white. And we just kind of try to figure it out. What does this really mean? What's the spiritual significance to it? And by the time we get to Acts chapter 2 and we can read beyond that and to see that the color comes and we can see things clearly. What God's plan is for redeeming the world for Himself. And Acts chapter 2, again, it's an invitation, isn't it? For people to say, come into the covenant, come into the relationship, come under the promises of God. He's going to lead you and protect you. He's going to bless you. He's going to see you through. Because He loves you. And He wants to be an intimate, a personal relationship with each one of us. This is what God wants. So this is the promise that's been given. The promise is for everybody. And that's the exciting thing in Acts chapter 2. Peter says this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. But if you read the Old Testament, you realize it's not the first time the promise has been made that way. You remember they were in Egypt, and when they left Egypt, it said there was 600,000 of the Israelites who left Egypt. Exodus chapter 12. In verse 38, it says, and there was also many others. Some translations say a mixed multitude. Others than what? Others than the Jewish people. In other words, there were some Egyptian people who left. In other words, this isn't just for, you know, the people that are by blood related to Abraham. Anybody's invited to leave Egypt. Well, you think about going into the promised land. You remember that? The people who left Egypt, only two went into the promised land. Joshua and the other guy. The other guy's Caleb. Do you know who Caleb is? He's a Gentile. He was one that lived in the land of the Philistines. He was not Jewish by blood. He was Jewish by choice. But, you know, we think about going into the promised land, we think of Joshua, a Jew. Caleb, Gentile. That's relationship. The interesting thing about this feast that the Jews even today still hold of Pentecost, the feast that they celebrate, they read from the Bible. And one of the favorite scriptures they read is Ruth. Because Ruth has got to do with a relationship. People outside of a relationship with God, people coming inside of a relationship with God, talking about grace and favor and being blessed and being in, literally, in a marriage relationship. You remember that? Ruth and Boaz? What a beautiful picture in the Old Testament. And they are in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Well, who are Ruth and Boaz? Well, Boaz is an older Jewish gentleman. He loved God. He was faithful. A leader in his community. Very wealthy. He had the ability to take care of Ruth, to watch over her, to protect her, to provide for her. He enters into a relationship through marriage. They even had children. Who's Ruth? Oh, hang on. She's from Moab. She's a Gentile. What? In the Old Testament, Gentiles are allowed even into a relationship with God? They're allowed into the kingdom? Gentiles? Yeah, it's threaded all the way through the Old Testament, how this works. So Acts chapter 2, again, what do we have? We have a promise being fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came. Power from God. Actually, you read some of the details of Acts chapter 2, it almost sounds like some of the same things that were happening when Moses went up to the mountain to get the law to create this covenant with God and his people. Fire and smoke, rumblings and thunder, the power of God showing up, beginning something brand new with the people of God. This is how the Old Testament covenant and the New Testament relationship weave together, and the new fulfills the old. And the writer of Hebrews spends quite a bit of time making comparisons and contrasts between the first covenant and the second covenant. And so we thank God that we can come together today to celebrate, to rejoice, to say, we are part of God's family. So, we want to do that as the church, not only today, really every day, but certainly whenever we have the opportunity to come together. As always, we offer the same invitation that Jesus had commanded, the same one that Peter gave in Acts chapter 2, the first time this new covenant was introduced to anybody, the new covenant. That if today you believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior, as God in the flesh, the one who died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and we would be saved, rose from the dead, that we too would rise one day to live with God forever in heaven. We believe Jesus is the Lord and we repent of our sins. We're buried with Him in baptism so that our sins would be forgiven. We'd receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is that? It's a new relationship. It's the covenant. It's accepting the invitation of the marriage between a man and his bride. And we are the bride of Christ. If we can encourage you today, if we can pray with you, if today you want to be baptized, we'll give you that opportunity. So we're just going to sing a song. We'll stay seated. We'll sing a song. But if we can encourage you, please let us know how we can do that today.